Other questions? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see back there because of the light surmise.
Mm-hmm. Bob, can you tell us more about the joint venture with Olivetti?
Yes. We have a joint venture with Olivetti that was executed about a year ago. I guess it's June of 92. The idea was that Digital would make an investment in Olivetti, and Olivetti would convert their server and higher performance architectures away from MIPS architecture and all other architectures like Pyramid and whatever to Alpha. And that is sort of the short form. We would sell some of their PCs that they manufactured and designed in Europe primarily, and we would cooperate with each other wherever it makes sense in doing like PC design, marketing, cooperative selling if it makes sense, and that's beginning to happen. The business hasn't been that good for Olivetti or for Digital, and so we're a little bit behind on our timetable as far as the alliance is concerned, but it remains a healthy one. My opinion of it is that their intentions are quite clear. They've divested themselves of all the other suppliers other than Intel architecture and Alpha architecture, and they've announced some Alpha products. So I expect this thing will start picking up and do better as we go forward. Other questions?
Bob, at the beginning of this DVN, Gordon mentioned the GATT talks that are taking place here in Geneva. Next week, the U.S. Congress will vote on NAFTA. What's at stake for Digital in GATT and NAFTA?
Well, I think that it's not only for Digital, but for the industrialized countries. It'd be quite unfortunate if, in fact, we retreat into these barriers and tariffs that we seem to be bent on. That's a losing situation for industrialized countries. What creates wealth is trade, and that creates jobs. And so what we need is to lower the barriers among countries and among trading partners. And for the United States, NAFTA is very important because as we remove tariffs between the U.S. and Mexico, we've already got an arrangement with Canada, then our business, that is Digital's business in Mexico, will increase. Jobs will be created in the United States and other geographies in which we do business. And it's a very positive thing for Digital. So I personally have been quite outspoken with the administration in public. We've run some ads with my little signature supporting NAFTA, and this afternoon I'm making a radio broadcast for U.S. radio to support NAFTA in the greater New England area. This means more jobs and more revenue for Digital equipment employees. I hope it passes. Don't know. Yes.
Antoine Gotten from the Healthcare CBU. I understand your concern about the Q2 revenue. If we keep on focusing on the very, very short term, it's not very good for the company viability. Are you pushing our senior managers to think long-term and strategies?
Yes. One of the major objectives of the chief executive officer is to develop the strategy for the company, never mind the recent examples. But you have to have a strategy, and each of those business units, each of the CBUs, part of their job is to develop the strategy for their industry. Like you talk about healthcare, we can't do everything in healthcare. So the issue for the CBU management is to figure out where is the best opportunity for Digital with our products and services to make money in healthcare, and how would we deploy that resource across the globe to do so. So that is the responsibility. And what you want to define is the day-to-day tactics, the day-to-day operations, if you will, that's the responsibility of worldwide sales. Worldwide sales and marketing drives the day-to-day operations. They're close to the customer. They're out there next to the customer where decisions are being made. Longer-term strategies are the responsibility and applications of the CBU management, all part of the same organization now with this recent change. So, yeah, you have to look at both the long and the short term. You know, fundamentally, that's the way it is in business. You can't just do one thing or another. You have to do it all. You have to get revenue today so you can pay the bills today. You have to have a strategy to get revenue tomorrow so the business can grow. Yes.
I would like to ask you a question about DBPP implementation, the price. We're intended to be very competitive and stop the brokerage people buying in the States and selling to Europe. How can you explain that in Switzerland we have 20 to 25% uplift compared to the U.S. price?
I think that the issue there about pricing was that the practice in the industry was to set very high list prices and then negotiate very large discounts. And the problem with that in an open client server computing kind of thing is that many customers would look at a price list and they don't even call Digital. is as you see, our prices are so high, they just think, well, these guys aren't in the ball game. And so the objective was to bring our prices, as far as list prices are concerned, down to a much more competitive street-level pricing. And off that, then you have some discount. As you move into different countries, wherever they are, there are uplifts that have to do with primarily historical issues and also the cost of doing business in different territories. This is an issue that the sales management has got to work out over time to reduce the amount of uplift because customers don't like it. You know, if you're talking about a global customer, that customer knows if they're paying a price of X, say, for U.S. delivery, they're willing to pay a slight premium for delivery in some other country if, in fact, there's a tariff in the country, as there are in the EC. There's freight involved. There's maybe some higher cost of service. They'll pay a modest premium, but they won't pay the uplifts that we had in the past. The reason we had these very high uplifts, oh, and that's true of our competitors as well, is because of our metrics. We had the country manager very focused on the contribution margin within his territory or country, and so all of the behavior was driven to maximize revenue in that country. That's not the strategy in the future. In the future, the issue is looking at customers on a global basis and making sure that customers understand digital prices its products fairly in the geographies that we deliver. And we price in order to be competitive against competition in each geography. Now, if you looked at, for example, a good example, recently IBM brought out a new high-end workstation. You may have seen it. It's based on their PowerPC multi-chip module. So it's a module about this size. Had 8 integrated circuits on it, and it was competitive with our Alpha AXP system at the high end. But we offer our product at half the cost. Half the cost. And that was picked up in the Wall Street Journal, and it was quite clear. It said on the certified, verified performance metrics, the two products were essentially the same, but digital's cost half as much. So we're going to continue to be very aggressive on pricing. This will have some puts and takes as we work it out, because many of our resellers, our value-added resellers and distributors, are not familiar with the new pricing, and we have to work on that. As a matter of fact, Ed Lucente and I will be in California in a couple of weeks meeting with a large number of our software vendors and partners and distributors, value-added resellers, and making sure that everybody understands this pricing. But our objective is to be competitive. Yes. Well, here was one, and then back here. Yes.
Bob, you mentioned last night in your talk that digital has taken matrix management to an art form.
Mm-hmm.
So, two questions. One, what are your views about matrix management? And two, do you see any changes?
Yes, there are a lot of changes. Matrix management is helpful, and it can be quite useful, provided you don't make it too complicated. You can generally run a matrix in two dimensions without much trouble. The issue is, for example, let's say manufacturing semiconductors, which is what I used to run. We manufacture semiconductors in the United Kingdom, outside Edinburgh, Scotland. That was part of semiconductor operations, but is also part of manufacturing in Europe. That's not complicated. So the people that were running the plant were also on the European manufacturing and logistics team, but they're also part of semiconductor operations. We never had one conflict over that subject that I can remember. You know, so that was reasonable. On the other hand, if you have a salesperson that's trying to call an account, and that person thinks they have three bosses, the probability of them being efficient is quite low. And so the issue is, no sales account executive should have more than one boss. So that as we simplify our organization, we want it very clear, if you're a sales account executive, you know to whom you report and what it is you're supposed to do, so that you have an opportunity to be successful. You probably know that digital Salesforce has not been as productive as the competition. The reason is that we've made it too complicated. And so we in management need to simplify that. I'm quite sure that Ed Lucente will be making changes in the organizational structure, not only in Europe, but worldwide, working with his management team, the objective to be to reduce the complexity and enable our salespeople to be more efficient and spend more time face-to-face with our customers. I have time for one more question, I'm told. Yes.
Can you tell us what the status of hiring a CIO is and why it's been so difficult, given that digital is and wants to be a leader in the IT business?
Yes, I can. We have been looking for a chief information officer for the company, and part of the reason that we haven't been successful is we kept changing the definition of what we were looking for. The issue is that digital has a history, as you know, of complete distributed computing and distributed management decisions around computing resources. From time to time, we were trying to decide, did we need a really high-level, industry-recognized chief information officer, senior person, an architect, if you will, or do we need somebody that was much more hands-on into networking, into Unix and Windows NT, able to come with a much more modern implementation kind of thing? What kind of skills did they have to have in order to be successful in our very distributed environment? And we've changed our definition around that. As you know, we decided that one thing we were going to do was outsource our own information technology management of our data centers to our own digital consulting resource. When we made that decision, I made the decision, because I said to myself, you know, when I'm going to call on a customer and we say we want to outsource your network or your data processing, the first question is, well, how do you do your own? You know, he said, well, we outsource ours to our digital consulting organization. So that changed the definition of the person we're looking for. And we're still looking, but we now have a clear definition of what we're looking for, and we're interviewing people. At this moment, I don't know that we have anyone that's identified that there's any offer. So we'll keep looking. The objective there is to find the right person to lead a worldwide architecture around information technology. The other thing is, over time, I believe that digital needs to use client-server distributed computing architecture in running our business. See, today we run the world's largest private network, largely based on VMS, of course, a time-sharing kind of system. We want to move that to a distributed computing system client-server over time so that we're using what our customers are using, so that we know better what problems they're having in implementing Windows NT and Unix interfaces, and we'll also continue to use OpenVMS. We want to see what are the real problems in doing heterogeneous client-server computing. And so we are quite intent on finding the right person there. In the meantime, we have some leadership within the digital information technology community that are moving forward and making the obvious improvements to our networking and our computing resources. Well, in any event, I've enjoyed talking with you. I'm told that I'm out of time. We have a lot to do. We've made a lot of progress. As I mentioned last year, and again at practically every DVN, it took a long time to get in this much trouble. It'll take a little bit of time to get completely out, but we're well on our way. I'm quite confident about our future. I hope you're as confident as I am. Thank you very much.